I haven't given you the verse yet. I'll give it to you when I'm ready. Emily's trying to tell me something. I don't know. Oh, okay. 28:19. I have no idea what that means. Oh, okay. Got you, okay. Sorry, I don't understand y'all's new lingo thing. So, no, I want you to say word. Why do we say word? It is the word. Okay, so somebody read 19 and 20. All right, Mariah, go for it. What's the point of this? Make new disciples and? Tell them he's always here for us. Hold on, back up one more. There's another step in it. Baptize them and? Teach them. Okay, so make disciples, baptize them, teach them. Got it? End of message. Nobody believes that. Okay, good. So, for the last few weeks, that's what we've been talking about. All of the weeks, into one, right there. Go and make disciples. Baptize them. Teach them. Okay? Go to 2 Corinthians 3. I'm going to change the name of this group from Fuse. Hey, you with the tech device back there, quit cheating. Three. No, I'm gonna change the youth group name from Fuse to Word Warriors, because that's what we're gonna be when we get done. When you leave here.
Wait, did you tell us not to talk to
be quiet? Yeah. We're gonna change it to Word Warriors, because when you leave here, you are going to know the word. Okay? I'd call it Bible drill, but that's old school. So that's what we're gonna change it to. Okay? Alright, so 2 Corinthians 3, verses 2 and 3. All right, somebody read it. Oh, Ivy, you wanted to? No, okay. All right, Vincent, read it. My bad. Sorry, I forget people's names when they don't show up for like 6 months. So, forgive me. Forgive me. I have a master's degree. Don't tell me 8th grade is hard. Okay. Can we read the Bible now? Okay. We'll talk about 8th grade later. Bible. So some of our wonderful girls up here don't understand the difference between Corinthians and Chronicles. So they said word and they weren't really there.
I never said it.
So again, the only letter of recommendation. Paul's writing this to the church in Corinth. And here's what he's telling them. The only letter of recommendation that I need are your lives as that letter written on our hearts. Everyone can read it and recognize our good work among you. You're a letter from Christ showing the result of our ministry among you. The letter is not written in pen and ink, but with the Spirit of God. So, not Thessalonians, Corinthians. Oh my goodness. I'm going to send y'all back to Annette so that you can memorize the books of the Bible and then come back up here when you graduate. So, anyways, living transformed lives is our testimony. That's our recommendation, our letter of recommendation, the letter written on our hearts. How many of you guys have ever sat in church or at a camp or a conference or something and heard somebody tell an amazing story of how they came to know Christ? Just something that was like over the top, like, oh my goodness, I was in a car. It was what? Okay, it was at Fuego. So, some people have these crazy, unbelievable stories, and other people have not so crazy, unbelievable stories. All of us have a story, though. And what you're going to soon find out as you begin to get older and older and older is your story is probably going to get more and more crazy and more unbelievable. See, because my story growing up was when I was born on a Monday, on Sunday I was in church. And then Wednesday and Sunday. Until I was 7 years old. And then finally the pastor said something really cool that I don't remember. And I said, hey, I want to know this Jesus dude. So I went to the front, gave my life to Christ. They said, Aaron, we've got this really cool opportunity tonight. You can be baptized tonight. I was like, what? There's no church tonight. They said, no, we're doing a special service. We're going to baptize people in the lake. I'm like, I'm in. I want to go swimming. I wanted to go swimming. It's a lake. No, I didn't know what baptized was. I didn't even know what any of this was. I went to church and sat there and stared. Usually, if I wasn't bad and in the spanking room, I had a coloring book. When I didn't do the coloring book, I was in the spanking room. We don't have a spanking room here. Y'all know what that is, but we had a spanking room at my church. Oh, no, it was worse than the bad kid room. Bad kid room was a nursery. Aaron went to the spanking room. So, anyways, got baptized in a lake. Went on, did church, got into the youth group, did church, got out of high school, and then it was like, hey, hi, church, bye-bye, church, life straight downhill. Like, you start to find other influences of the world that make your story more and more unbelievable. Pieces of your story where you wind up in situations where only God Himself can change, alter, or impact that situation. So at this moment in life, don't feel bad that you don't have this crazy story that you were delivered from this unbelievable drug addiction with some dude with a gun in your face and, you know, laying on the side of the road. Okay? My hope would be that none of y'all have to do that ever. Like, it would be my hope that, like, one of y'all calls me, at least one, most of y'all don't like me enough to do this, but one of y'all calls me when you get married and you're like, hey, Aaron, come to my wedding, and you show up and I haven't seen you in years, and you're like, hey, let me tell you about my life, and you have like this perfect life. Unlike me and Emily, where the pastor's like, hey, let's do this premarital counseling thing, and we're like, can we not talk about it in that? At all, ever? Ever, ever again? New life in Christ, new life in marriage, right? Please? Like, I hope that y'all don't have that happen, but the reality is the world is getting worse and the world is going to have influences. So we either get to follow Jesus and try and avoid those influences or not follow Jesus, and at some point you're going to come back. I have no idea where that came from. Okay, notes. I feel like I'm pulling a Steve. Like, where's that rabbit picture? Wow. So, let me get back on track, because otherwise we're going to be here forever. For Paul, there's no doubt that he and the other early workers in the church had hard times which would have caused discouragement. To hear about and also see the work of Jesus in the people in the church at Corinth was a message of hope for Paul, as it displayed the evidence of God working in their lives. I don't know where I'm at now. It's got to be the same for us. There's got to be an evidence of God working on our lives that other people are able to see. And other people are able to ask questions about and wonder, why is it that they're doing this? Why is it that they're doing that? Okay. Instead of seeing the gay kid at school and going, oh my gosh, you're weird, and running the other direction, you're the one that becomes their friend. Instead of finding the one random smelly kid in school and doing everything you can to avoid them and making fun of them, you're the one that becomes their friend. And people start to wonder, why are you doing this? Why are you different? Why is it that there is something different about you than everybody else? And it comes down like this. There was a saying when I was growing up. It goes like this. Some of you may have heard it before. Some of you may not. Your life is the only Bible that an unbeliever may ever read. I'm done. I just got my Baptist amen. I can go home now. Really, though, if you think about it, you're not going to be able to walk up to somebody that doesn't know Christ and say, hey, do you know what it says in Matthew 28? They're going to be like, what? They're not going to read this book. And so your life may be the only thing that has any indication of who Jesus is that they will ever see or ever read. So, our lives have the ability to display a good message about Christ or a bad message. What's the number one reason people say they don't want to become a Christian? They don't believe in Jesus? No. They don't want to change? No. Other Christians, what about other Christians? They're hypocrites. People don't want to become Christians because Christians, they say, are hypocrites. We go to church on Sunday and we smoke weed on Monday. And we go to church on Wednesday and then we drink on Thursday. And we go to church on Sunday and we're sleeping with our boyfriend on Monday. And they wonder, or we wonder, sorry, why they don't want to become Christians. Because we tell them, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that, and then we go do these things. Our lives look absolutely no different than the world. So if you look at your life and your actions and your attitudes and your words, are they something that would make somebody say, that's the reason I don't want to become a Christian, because of how they act? Or would they say, there's something different about that person than the way the rest of the world is, and I want to know what that is? Why is it they don't cuss? Why is it they're not at all the parties? Why is it that they're respectful to their teachers and their parents? Why is it that they're not sleeping around? Or are you doing the exact same things that everybody else is and just coming up here on Wednesday or down there on Sunday and playing church? What kind of lives is our message sending to the unsaved people around us? If our lives are the only Bible they read, what kind of message is it sending? Is it the message out of that book? Or is it the message out of the other books that maybe you read in school? See, we all know people who live hypocritical lives full of double standards, or maybe they're not living well. Yet we've told people we're Christians and they expect something different out of us. Well, let me tell you something funny. If you took this street right here and go down to, like, say, Haltom Road, from 28th all the way to Broadway, and you knocked on every single door in that area, it's like 3 blocks. Somebody guess how many of those people would tell you that they were Christians? How many say more than half? Okay, how many say less than half? The reality of the picture is, in America today, over 90% of people would tell you that they're a Christian. But of those 90%, only about 12% are actually going to church, are actually trying to live like Christ, are actually trying to maintain a lifestyle that looks more like Christ than it does the world. So are we part of the 90% over here or the 12% over here? It's one thing to, hey, I'm a Christian, it's good. It's another thing to actually live like it. What's the saying go? If you're going to talk the talk, walk the walk. So whatever comes out of our mouths, we need to make sure that we're walking. Okay? I got to pick on somebody real quick. Somebody told me tonight, or didn't tell me, I watched them tonight, that they were sending their boyfriend a text saying, hey, I'm on my way to church. My question then is that person going to live tomorrow as if they were at church tonight or not? Same for you guys. If you're texting your friends, hey, I'm on my way to church, I'll talk to you later, whatever, they know you're at church. Are they going to believe tomorrow that you were at church tonight? Or are they going to be like, are you sure you went to church? Okay. 2 Corinthians 5:20. That's the one in the back of the book. It takes one. Okay. Thanks. Is it my turn yet? Oh, okay. So we are Christ's ambassadors. What's an ambassador? A representative. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. We're Christ's representatives, and God's making his appeal through us when we say, come back to God. Are our mouths and our lifestyles both saying, come back to God? Or are they saying, I live like there's no God at all outside of me? See, it's up to us to decide what kind of message we're sending to other people. It's up to us what kind of letter of representation we're writing to other people, what we're telling them. Minions. Bring papers. I have minions. I've always wanted minions. So. Here's what we're going to do. I have handouts. You've seen these before. And you're probably going to see them again. So. Get used to it. That's because you weren't here. Okay. So here's the deal. Sure, let me have one. I didn't know if there's going to be enough. Now I understand why 8th grade is hard for y'all. Because you don't comprehend that being handed a piece of paper requires no communication. Okay, so the front page and back page have big title headings. These title headings all spell gospel, the first letter. I'm so smart. I stole it from somebody. It's the plan of salvation laid out. Real simple. You don't need to memorize every single aspect, but if you don't have a good understanding of this, how are you going to tell somebody about it? Second page. It's like four little handouts. It has it summarized. I guess you could hand it to somebody if you wanted, but these are more likely good for cutting up and putting in places to be easy to remind you. On your bathroom mirror, in your wallet, in your binder. Something of that nature. It's a reminder of the gospel along with tips. Pray for wisdom, courage, and clarity. Bring it up as naturally as possible. Gospel, this thing, is a guide, not a script. Wait a minute, share your spiritual journey. Like your story? Like the one God gave you? Oh, okay. Ask them to trust in Christ right then. Invite them to church or small group. And then there's a website down there for more help. Okay? Real simple. And the back, or the last page. Here's where we put this into practice. Okay? Three big words. Pray, pursue, persuade, and then the ABCs. Okay? Pray for our friends daily. What is so funny? Okay. Pursue your friends spiritually. Okay? Serve them. Love them. Honor them. Bring up God in conversations. Maybe you're just sitting there talking about what you do in your free time. And you mentioned one of the things that you do is read your Bible or go to church or worship or something like that. It's something you do. You're not lying to them. But that's naturally going to create conversations. Wait a minute. Why would you devote your time to that? Well, because it's important to me. Why is it important to you? On and on and on. Okay? These things will become natural. Persuade. Persuade them to consider Christ and his message. This is not like this crazy, heavy-handed, you're going to hell if you don't accept Jesus, even though that's actually part of the picture. But it's the idea that life is better with Jesus. Okay? And then the ABCs. A. Accept Christ. B. Belong to a church. C. Commit to the cause. And then there's an arrow that comes back up here. So here's how this works. You have friends, we hope. If not, I don't know what to tell you. You have to think of your friends and figure out where you need to put them on this circle. So maybe some of your friends are like, man, I'm really not ready to actually talk to them about Jesus yet, so I'm just going to start praying. So you're going to list their names right up here. I'm just going to pray. That's it. God, give me an opportunity. Give me a way and a chance to talk to them about Jesus. Make them bring it up, because I'm not comfortable doing that yet. Okay? Those people are going to go up there. Then you've got the pursue category. Maybe you've got some other friends that fit into that category. Maybe they're a little bit closer. Maybe they know you go to church already. Maybe they already know you're a Christian. And maybe you actually have the ability to bring up that conversation. So you're going to put them in there. You're going to keep praying for them, but you're actually going to intentionally start to move this direction. Okay? Get to work on the gospel presentation and begin to bring it up. Maybe part of it's just invite them to Wednesday night. Okay? It's real simple. I did it tonight. I invited a teenager to youth. You want to know how I did it? I texted Kristen's boyfriend and said, come hear me sing. I didn't say come to church. I didn't say come hear this weird old dude talk about Jesus. I just said, hey, come hear me sing. Come eat free food. Come to Nerf Wars. Like, I do events for y'all to have fun and for you to make it easy to invite your friends. Come watch a movie at the church. The movie's going to share the gospel. It's really that simple. Her boyfriend, come hear me sing. That's it. If he likes her, he'll come hear her sing. If he doesn't, she should break up with him. It's just that simple. So, they're not dating. Okay, they're not dating. I don't know what the term is today anymore. I'm sorry, going steady, going, I don't know. Forget it. Oh, they're boyfriend, girlfriend, they're not dating. Troy, help us. Okay. I have no idea what's going on right now. Okay, here we go. So enough about Kristen and her non-dating boyfriend person. Dude, so persuade, okay? These are the people that you actually, maybe y'all have already kind of started talking about Jesus and you feel like, I really can push this to the next level. I really can make this the next movement, okay? And then it goes back up to the ABCs. So again, the whole goal in this process, you pray for them, you pursue them, you persuade them. They accept Christ, belong to a church, commit to the cause. What's the cause? Thank you, David. Matthew 28, spreading the gospel. Which is why the circle goes back around. You then explain to them, hey, find your friends, pray for them, pursue them, persuade them. And it's like this ongoing circle over and over of all of us going, making disciples, baptizing them, and teaching them. Really, we just... Oh, my goodness. Hey, I told you we're not talking about your non-dating boyfriend right now. So, here's where we're at. The last 5 minutes. Last week, I told y'all what was going to happen in the last 5 minutes of service from now on. I didn't say we were going to do groups. It's not groups. All right, so the last 5 minutes of youth from here on out, here's what we're going to do for those that weren't here. We're going to encourage each other with stories of us actually putting this into place. Okay, it's going to be testimonies. Okay, Kristen, thank you for the word. Sometimes they're going to be good, sometimes they're going to be bad. Sometimes you're going to go, hey, I tried to share Jesus with this person. They punched me in the face. We'll pray for both of you. Sorry for your broken nose. My bad. I really don't feel that bad for you. Jesus was crucified, so shut up about your broken nose. Others, it's going to be, hey, I shared the gospel with so-and-so. They came to know Christ. Actually, they're sitting right here next to me tonight. My goodness gracious, could that not be any more amazing than that right there? So, I told you last week it was going to happen. Does anybody have a story they care to share? Yes, you have to say it out loud. We're trying to encourage each other. Hey, thank you for the paper off the mouth. So it's just that simple. Say, Kristen can be really loud on stage, but when she's talking about this, she's really quiet. We're going, see, here's what we're going to do. Our goal is to change this process to where instead of us going, so my friend Marissa, she did this thing, that we're going to shout this from the rooftops. Okay? We're not going to need microphones. Kristen invited her friend Larissa to church. Larissa then turned around and went to camp. And at camp, Larissa accepted Christ. Which means now Kristen is in task with where on that circle?
Starting over.
Larissa's accepted Christ. She needs to belong to a church, commit to the cause, and then show her the rest of the circle and get started. Okay? Yeah, sir. That sounds exactly like Ivy. I believe it. I believe it. It's exactly what sounds just like Ivy. But see, that's the thing. Like, everybody's going to have their own kind of style. Again, that gospel thing is a guide. Ivy, she can get away with that. You need Jesus. And people go, you're right. I do. Other people, if they go up and be like, you need Jesus, we're going to get killed. So everybody's got to find their thing. So now we've got Sarah walked all the way around the circle, back to ABC. Sarah's now finding other people. Okay? Any more recent from this last week? See, this is going to be the deal. See, this is where it gets fun. Y'all have already told those stories. Now you need new ones. So, yeah. You need new ones. So, you should be telling people about Christ weekly. So instead of coming in next week going, I have a story about Larissa. We're like, Kristen, we already heard that one. You're going to say, I have a story about Betty.
I have a story about Betty. I have a story about Betty.
So this becomes a natural thing. On and on and on and on and on. To where I'm calling Miss Gay saying, Miss Gay, on Sunday or Wednesday, you need to move upstairs. We're taking over the sanctuary. These kids will not stop telling people about Jesus. I'm out of room. Y'all laugh. I'm all in. I'm just saying, I'm all in. I'll do it in a heartbeat. No, we're not going to the gym. Sounds terrible in there. But, hey, here's the other reality of the picture. If all that happens, let me tell you how this, let me show you the big picture in this world. Okay, you invite your friend. I'll use Larissa as a perfect example. Larissa comes to church. Did you invite Lisa? The first time? The first time? Okay. Chris invited Larissa. Mom couldn't come. Mom eventually has started coming. Now I talk to Mom once a week, and I'm working on leading Lisa to Christ. See, you bring friends, and I get the ability to work on parents. Let me make it better for you, because see, y'all aren't wrapping your head around how amazing that is, so let me make it better. When parents come, they bring money. When the parents bring money, that means I get to tell Stephen Gay, we're out of room up here. I want my own building right there. And when I say I want my own building right there, that means I get to say, what do y'all want in a building? You want a basketball court? Deal, let's build it. Like, we get to build whatever it is that you guys want. But not because we want a basketball court, but because we want to see people come to know Christ. And I'm going to work on parents. But I don't know your friends' parents until you bring your friends. Does this make sense yet? See, because then what's going to happen is, you're going to get excited about this. I'm already excited about this. I'm going to get Troy excited about this. And he's like a pit bull on people. I'm going to stick him on parents too. And it's game over. Are we there yet?
Yes.
I'm
there.
So next. What?
What movie? Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Get out of here. I love that last movie.
Okay. So, I am real deal going to give you the easiest way to open the door to this conversation, and I'm going to let you go. Real deal. Send your friends a text or a snap randomly this week. Don't do it tonight because, like, you just got back from church, and so, like, you're supposed to do this kind of stuff. But just, like, tomorrow at, like, 1:12 p.m., send them a text. How can I pray for you today? It's amazing what people will tell you when you ask them that. I have never once asked somebody that and they've looked at me and said, hell no, go away. Never. Somebody may say, you know what? No, I'm good right now. So, what is it, Ivy? Okay. So here's what I did, just because I can't tell you guys to do something I'm not willing to do myself. So Monday, I sent a DM on Twitter to 10 people randomly. I just went down my list, boom, 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 boom. And just said, how can I pray for you? All 10 of them sent me a paragraph back with, Aaron, I can't believe that you sent this. My brother-in-law just got diagnosed with cancer. So-and-so just had this. So-and-so just had this. I need this. And it opened the door for conversations. And all I did was literally as simple as, is there anything I can pray for you about? That simple. You're on Snapchat. Hey, take a picture of the floor like you always, I'll never understand that. Picture of floor, what are you doing today? Anyways, take a picture of floor and just say, how can I pray for you today? And see what you get back. See if it doesn't begin to open the door for conversations automatically to happen. And I get it. See, this is going to be weird for you at first. You're going to be standing there going, God, like, this is not going to be normal. It's not something that just comes right out of the box. That's why you have your story. That's why you tell them your story. But I've also given you the out. Just bring them up here. Just bring them to church. Bring them to an event. Let them see. Because that's one of the other big deals is teenagers think Christian teenagers don't have fun. We have a good time. Except Kristen, because I make fun of her all the time. So everybody else has fun. So anyways, everybody else has fun. So when they begin to see that Christian teenagers can have fun too without drugs and alcohol and sex and all the rest of that stuff, then it takes all their excuses away. If you're not comfortable sharing the gospel, then let me do it for you. Okay? You want to share with the whole class? Okay. All right, so next week we're going to be ready for what? Story time. Okay. Emily, get me a story time map. We'll get one of the kindergarten mats and we'll sit around it and we'll do. Okay. All right. I'm going to pray. We'll get out of here. Since y'all want to be chatty, you can go be chatty somewhere else. Okay? Hey, by the way, I need school shirts. No, specific, like your school, okay? Okay. Daddy God, we're so grateful that you have given us the opportunity to be a part of your story. God, that we get to be your ambassadors, bringing the truth of you, your message, and your life to those around us. God, I pray that as we walk out of this room tonight and tomorrow and for the rest of the week, Lord, that you would give us the boldness to speak about who you are. Lord, please allow us to remember the time and the place where we met you that first time and the things that you did to change our life. And tell other people about that. God, I pray that you would open doors this week for each of these students to have a conversation with somebody about you. Be it friend, be it stranger, be it parent, whatever, Lord. You know who you've put in their lives for that specific purpose. God, I thank you for the boldness, the courage, the words that you're going to give them in this process. Pray all these things in your name, according to your will. Amen. Y'all are always whining. Either it's too hot or it's too cold. Unbelievable. Did the speaker lights not go off? Oh, okay. They always whine, that's too